I'm Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from Angel Fire, New Mexico, and we are at the resort, and we're at the symposium, and we have a very interesting man here I want to introduce you to, Robert Smaltzbach, and he goes by Java Bob, so I assume he likes coffee.
Well, you know, Jerry, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me here. This has been a great symposium. I'm really enjoying it. And actually what happened is I lived in a very small town, and I opened a coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
I got the nickname Java Bob. The name of my coffee shop was Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli.
Is it still there?
Well, the building is still there, but I've left it.
I thought you were still in business. I might plug it.
No, it was a lot of people still look for that business.
What town was this?
In a town called Happy Camp. It's in far northern California. It's the most remote town in the continental United States. And it's the second largest county in California. And in that county, there are more bears than there are people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm familiar a little bit with that, but I haven't been that far north.
Yeah, it's 20 miles south of the Oregon border.
Yeah. Now, have you always lived there?
No.
Weren't you in computers or something?
I worked for businesses like Bell Labs Technology Division, and I was an equipment engineering manager, and I worked on some of the most advanced equipment ever. I mean, this is the kind of equipment they use to make the stuff they use at NASA. So this was a really long ways away from where I am now.
Yeah, now you're on the board, I think, of Searching for Bigfoot.
I was on the board of Searching for Bigfoot. I have recently gone off on my own and resigned. I'm no longer affiliated in any way, shape, or form with
Donna Scott. And they find you on the web with your own website?
My own website now is footprintsinyourmind.com.
Footprintsinyourmind.com.
Yes, it's all one
now,
word.
Now, does that give away your theory on Bigfoot? I mean, I understand you've actually communicated with these.
Well, no, it doesn't give away my theory.
Okay.
It's not this site is not dedicated strictly to Bigfoot. I've now broadened my scope. What's happened is when I got into this business, if you want to call it a business.
Yeah, I understand.
I was very technical and very skeptical. And when I got out and realized how much information there is out there and how much physical evidence there is supporting this, it made me realize that all these other things that I've been hearing about that I always thought were just as funky and off the wall as Bigfoot may have some credibility. And I got involved with people that are ufologists, with people that are ghost hunters, with people that are in all these, for lack of a better term,
Well, some people think Bigfoot might be interdimensional, or even a UFO pet, or a UFO something. What about all that?
Well, what I've learned is that just because I don't agree with it doesn't make them wrong, because my opinion is no better than theirs. My personal opinion is that there are more mundane explanations to why it suddenly disappears and things like that, but I don't necessarily think it's interdimensional. But that certainly is a possibility.
Yeah, people bring that up occasionally. Well, it was walking across the field and zap, it just went away when somebody fired a shot at it or something.
Well, in my experience, things would happen like it would run off and we'd lose sight of it and look around and you'd scan around and you'd see a stump with branches sticking off of it, and you'd scan to the left, you'd go back to the right. This time when you pass the stump, there's a stump there but no branches.
So,
now, I know with people, our eyes are trained, basically, to look for movement. If there's no movement and no big change in color, we're not going to perceive it as anything. So I think they're intelligent enough to realize that. They will freeze in a background that suits them, and as soon as they get the opportunity, will leave. And so it looked like they just disappeared.
A few questions here. The first question is, what got you interested in Bigfoot?
Interesting question. Thank you for asking. I was in this little town in Happy Camp.
Yeah.
And
they're all over up there, aren't they?
Well, not as all over.
Yeah.
They're up there. They're definitely up there.
Yeah.
Things weren't working out the way I planned when I first retired and moved up there. And I needed to start finding a way to make an income, so I opened up this little business, and now I wanted to promote my business.
Now, you're not going to tell me a Bigfoot came in and had a cup of coffee.
No, nothing that quite that easy. And so I ended up getting involved with everything that went on in the town, and I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce. I set up the fire safe councils. I started working with the Forest Service and all these other, you know, the Karuk Indians and everything that was going on up there. And I decided I'm going to have to find a way to make people aware of this place because it is absolutely gorgeous. It is one of the most pristine and beautiful places you can find anywhere in the country. It is. It's amazing. And I wanted to develop some tourist industry up there. So I called the county out, their economic development group, and asked them what's the best way to do that. And they said, find something that you already have and build on it. So I suggested to the board that we go with our artistic community because there are a lot of artists up there who moved up there to get away from other, you know, things that would take away from them concentrating on their art. And after the meeting, one of the members who did our online newspaper said, what about Bigfoot? And I said, well, what about Bigfoot? She said, we're on the federally recognized Bigfoot Scenic Byway. Almost every business in this town is named Bigfoot something. Your business is Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli. And I said, yeah, but Bigfoot's pretty controversial for the Chamber of Commerce to get involved in. But if you'd like to pursue that, on a personal level, I'd be more than happy to support you on that. So her name is Linda Martin, and she started calling around to all the Bigfoot organizations that you could find on the web. And only one person showed up, and that was Tom Biscardi, who was a pretty colorful individual. And I met him.
What makes him colorful?
Oh, he's a promoter.
Okay.
He does a lot of things that are very controversial, and he's not a very pleasant person to be around. You know, he's pretty much full of himself. But I can deal with all that. I mean, I'm not always the nicest guy in the world either, so I ignore all that.
Java Bob, you're kidding me there. You've got a great personality.
Well, thank you for that, but I forgive you later.
You're going to change my mind.
Could be. So just ask my wife. She's here. She'll set you straight. But at any rate, I asked him, how is he going to convince me this thing is real? And he said, I can't convince you of that. If you really want to know, come out with me and see what I see when I go out and research this. And so any chance I got, I would go out with him. And I still wasn't seeing much to convince me of anything. And one day, some people that worked up there that were professional, that I knew very well, they were not into drugs, they were not drinkers, they were very well-educated and professional people, came in and they had a sighting. And I went with Tom to investigate it. I'm really cutting this down quite a bit. And we found physical evidence to support it.
You mean like what?
Footprints. Footprints, mm-hmm. And so...
Big footprints.
Big footprints, yes. And not a human foot. I mean, they're different morphology than a human foot. And so I was intrigued because I knew that Tom was not aware where this place was. I had to bring him there. And the people that had shared this story with me were very credible people. And now I saw physical evidence to support it. So from that point on, whenever I got the opportunity, I would go out with him to investigate this. And I would say that 80 to 90% of the time, we found nothing to substantiate the stories we were hearing. But every now and again, we would. And I eventually got hooked into that and been doing it ever since. And now I'm absolutely convinced that there is something out there that requires some very serious scientific investigation. A high percentage of the stories that we investigate turn out to be probably the misidentification. And these people are not lying. They're just, it wasn't really what they thought it was. But a certain percentage of them, there's physical evidence to support it. I glean from each one of those experiences where there's physical evidence information. And when I find other situations that match that and there's more physical evidence, then those are the descriptions I tend to use as my knowledge base about what to help me understand what this creature really is. And that's the way I approach this subject. And so now I am absolutely convinced it's out there. I've seen it with thermal imaging firsthand, and I've seen it with night vision equipment firsthand, but I've never seen it eyeball to eyeball. So I know it's there, but I can't tell you that it's a Bigfoot. I can tell you there's something out there that I cannot tell you what it is, but it's not It's not a human as we picture a human.
And you think, on your own belief, that it's almost human, or?
Well, you know, this is a. I'll have to go around the corner a little bit to answer that because of some of the latest research that's being done that we're doing, and what I have learned is that it is probably more closely related to human than we ever imagined. As a matter of fact, we have some DNA work we're doing now that if it continues the way we're working on it now, we will probably issue a scientific paper about what this really is. And
we're not talking, or maybe we are, a Neanderthal man, but something really more progressive than that. Just somebody, maybe a species or a family that wants or a group that wants to stay out of sight. I mean, why don't?
Absolutely, and I won't go too far into this because, first of all, I don't want to say anything until we have all our I's dotted and T's crossed. But I will tell you that it will, if the testing that we're currently in the middle of doing right now, there are people right now working on this, if it continues to give us the information that we've been gathering so far and the direction that we're going so far, it will change everybody's mind and perception about what this really is.
Yeah, I this is, it seems to be coming forward. It's not really accepted by a lot of the Bigfooters yet, but it seems like it almost might be something very close to human.
That would be an understatement.
Yeah. And once you shoot one, it looks like you'd realize that.
Well, if somebody shoots one, it's not going to be me.
I understand. I wouldn't either. I'm not up to that.
You know, there's just no reason to do that.
There's a lot of guys out there, you know, they see something.
There are people out there that want to shoot it, and there is a lot to be said about that if you just want to. There are people out there who want to shoot it so they can protect it, because right now, if it doesn't exist, they can't protect it, and it does require a lot of land. As a matter of fact, one of the theories out there, and I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but it's certainly a possibility, is that because it would be so rare, it would immediately put its territories and migrational paths, it would make it an endangered species immediately, and on all of this public land that is now open and available would be closed down. They use that for mining, they use that for lumber, for all kinds of things, and it would cost the federal government literally billions and billions of dollars. And a lot of people think the federal government is very much aware that it's out there. But if they leave well enough alone, then they can go on doing what they're doing now without being bothered.
Well, there have been lots of reports over the years, and I'm sure you're well aware of them, lumber companies and et cetera, hiring people to keep these creatures away.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm convinced they're there.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely convinced they're there.
Now, you wrote a book called Monsters and...
Monsters, Myths, and Me.
Okay.
And basically what I did is I chronicled how I got involved with this, what I've learned, what kind of disappointments I've had, and what kind of positive things I found.
And Bigfoot would not be a monster in your mind.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. I think if you discover one and find one, it's best to just leave it alone. They are very large and very powerful, and I'm sure they would defend their families or their mates or youngsters.
Yeah, we hear reports that they actually travel in families. Is that true?
My experience has been they travel in family pods. As a matter of fact, in one of my expeditions, someone told us they thought they found some handprints out by a creek. So I sent a team out to cast the prints and to take photos and whatnot. On the way there, they saw this large creature run across the path in front of them, and they took off after it. It lost them very quickly. But they backtracked the prints, and when they got back to the other side of the path that this thing crossed in front of them, they found smaller prints and very small prints along with that headed off the other direction. So our assumption was that there was a father, a mother, and a child, and the father drew us off while the mother and child disappeared. Now, the father's prints were about 17 inches long. The one that we assume would be then the mother were about 14 inches long. And the third one were less than 9 inches long, 7 to 9 inches long.
So how big of a creature would be a 17-inch footprint be?
Well, probably, and this is a guesstimate, it would probably be about 6.5 feet tall, maybe 7 foot tall at the most. What's really more telling is their stride. With most primates, with people included, their average stride is about half of their height. So when we find some of these animals that seem to be walking along normally, not running, but walking along normally, and some of them have strides that are 6 to 7 feet. So these animals, the ones, you know, those are the bigger footprints, could be 12 to 14 feet tall. You know. But that's not the norm. Most of them are.
Now, you mentioned early on in this interview, the footprints are not like humans.
No, they don't have an arch like we have. They have a mid-tarsal break. The dimensions are different in that the ball of their foot is typically about half the length, so that their foot is wider and less tapered. And, of course, no arch. If it was from a human, we would say they were severely flat-footed. But what they do have is a mid-tarsal break, which is kind of like the palm of your hand, where your hand can bend like this, which helps to explain how they can have footprints going on, because it has to be just the right conditions to find the footprints in the first place. And second, if they feel like somebody's following their footprints, they can cut their feet over rocks and things, and their footprints just disappear. We can't do that.
True. So, have you ever heard the noise of a Bigfoot?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have recorded myself whooping towards the sounds of where they were coming from, and them whooping back to me, and whooping back and forth for 10 or 15 minutes. Tree knocking, where I've started beating on a tree, have them answer, do that once or twice, and then find one somewhere else answering the two of us, I'd stop and listen to them for a while. So they have methods of communicating. I've had people tell me they believe that they speak, and if you listen to them a certain way, you can hear that. I'm more inclined to think what they're hearing is them mimicking sounds. They're very intelligent. I think they look at us like their TV, and we're entertaining to them, and they mimic sounds in the forest. They mimic sounds of people. I'm not convinced yet that they have a language such as ours, but I've not been able to support that, but I know many people who believe that's the case.
The cold weather doesn't seem to bother them.
Well, that's where they have me beat, because it bothers the heck out of me.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
maybe it does. Maybe they hibernate.
You know, first of all, they come in different sizes. Now, there's a theory that says that the closer to the equator animals are, the smaller they are. And the further north, the bigger they get. And that seems to be the case. Now, with these, too, the closer to the ones we find in the south are typically 5.5 to 7 feet tall tops.
Mm-hmm.
The ones in the Pacific Northwest, 12, 14 feet have been sighted and discovered. So the big ones are better suited for cold weather. One of the theories we have is the reason that these things smell so badly is that, or one of the possible reasons, is that they hole up in caves and to avoid the heat and to avoid the real cold. And we also believe that they migrate along with the weather patterns. So they don't like it very cold, and they don't like it very hot.
Like humans.
just like the rest of us. But they can be found in very cold areas and very, very hot areas as well, but usually in specific areas that have places where they can avoid the most severe parts of the weather.
Well, we got to move on. We got a lot of guests, but we appreciate you coming by. And you don't plan leaving this little town up in north, or do you live someplace else?
Well, now I'm staying in the Sacramento area.
Okay.
And I put that piece of property up for sale. My daughter passed away, and our house, we had two houses on the property, and our house looked out at at her house, and so to wash the dishes or eat breakfast. Yeah, and my wife said, I can't do this. I just can't do this. So we just packed up and left.
And probably we've been talking about these creatures, and maybe that's not even the correct term. They're more like humans, you believe.
I believe that, yes.
They probably have the same type of emotions.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wonder why we never find a body for the funeral.
Well, you know, I don't know that we haven't.
Okay.
Because when they do find it, if they do find some remains, they typically send it out for DNA analysis, and the first analysis where they just screen it comes back and says, oh, it's probably contaminated because it's mostly human.
Yeah.
So if they are human, then we've been throwing away these perfectly good samples for decades.
Well, Java Bob, we've enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it.
And next up, we have Chuck Wade, and we're going to change topics from Bigfoot to some important information. Chuck Wade knows everything about the New Mexico UFO phenomenon, especially back in the 40s and early 50s. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away. I'd like to take an opportunity here to talk to you about our websites. We've been adding programs and adding programs, and sometimes it's difficult to find what you're looking for. First of all, we have a search mechanism on each of our websites, and you can click, like if it's jerrypippin.com or if ipodshows.net, just search the websites, put in the name of what you're looking for, and it will come up. Check us out, won't you? Often.